Tweet at TodaySOR.
Lots of tweets, lots of texts, lots of emails on wind farms. Why do those people think they should be allowed to plonk a house in the middle of a beautiful area for a private view of the landscape, but the ESB cannot erect essential infrastructure for the public good? Tom says, maybe this wind farm issue is a problem of building one-off houses. Why can't people live in communities, in towns and villages, as befits normal human beings, and leave the rural environments for farms, for food and for electricity? Now, I suspect a lot of people who live in one-off houses consider themselves to be normal human beings as well. So let's not go down that road, Tom. We have enough to argue about. On wills, my mother died a while ago. In her will, she left nothing to me. I was instituted at a young age and ignored by her all my life. She left house and contents to a granddaughter. Is there anything I can do? And also on wills, Breda says, my mom plans to leave everything to my sister. She's one of six children, and the rest of us are fine with that. It's mom's choice. However, my brother is separated and struggling. So after mom passes on, could his ex-wife bring a case on behalf of their two children? I don't know the answer to that, but I suspect we'll be having Tim Bracken in again to answer questions like that. And then another text about wills. My mother, after the death of my dad, signed everything over to my brother and left the rest of the siblings with nothing. The transfer is unrevocable, and my brother has refused to do anything for her, as he says it doesn't stipulate that he has to care for her. Now, on the bread, Garrod in Clochjordan in County Tipperary says, I live beside the award-winning Clochjordan wood-fired bakery, and I get wonderful craft bread delivered to my door. Well, good for you. I hope you enjoy it. And again, I make my own bread. It takes about 25 minutes to make 3 loaf tins, and everybody goes mad for it. They're much healthier than white bread, and I usually make 6 at a time and freeze them. And another one, begging to disagree, this person says that I live in Philadelphia, and a couple of slices of Brennan's bread are always high on the agenda when I get home. Don't let them change the Brennan's bread slice pan, please. That's from Fergal Roach, who says it's the best processed bread in the world, and no doubt old Mr. Brennan would agree. Jackie Jones, now that one that I wiped earlier, she says, John McKenna is right. Why is there so much chronic disease? Now, the implication being, I suppose a lot of it is attributable to the bread. I don't know about that. Ray Holmes says, I felt great slapping goat's butter onto my tartine or tartine bread, no doubt to John's approval, until I realised I completed the feast by adding on marmalade with 65% sugar. Lots of texts as well on Irish water. There's possibly 1 million people out there who have no intention of paying twice for water. They should stick with a flat rate, fix the pipes, and run an advertising campaign to educate people with water conservation tips. And again, just I think we'll take one more on water. Patricia in Inchicore in Dublin says, I just cannot pay. I live alone. I'm on social welfare, on sick benefit, and I'm one of those who falls between two stools. I couldn't pay. End of story. Now, to the subject of early childhood care and education. Here, children get one preschool year free of charge. It costs the state about €175 million annually. Yet, Early Education Ireland, which represents service providers, is saying that this level of investment falls way too short. They say they cannot ensure a quality service on a shoestring. With me now, Roisin O'Hara. You've been looking at this, I suppose, not entirely disinterestedly, because you have two young children, I think.
I have, Sean. I have two boys who are availing of the free preschool year, and I suppose we call it the ECCE scheme amongst ourselves.
ECCE.
Yeah, it's the Early Childhood Care Education. So yeah, I dropped them off this morning, happy as Larry, and they are actually benefiting from it. I can see that, but that's because they're in a really good place. I think they are implementing the curriculum really well there, and I can see that a lot of the people who are caring for them and educating them are highly qualified. I was just thinking, far from early education, I was reared in Connemara, I suppose.
A few saucepan lids.
Absolutely.
And
I was thinking, what did I do at age 3 and 4 and 5? I was helping my mother set the table and cook the dinner and what have you. But I suppose it was a different time back then, Sean. You know, I mean, a lot of us are working now, and we kind of have to work to help pay mortgages and so on and so forth. And so we have to avail of these services, because a lot of us are living far away from family, and we have no choice. So, but it's it's what we have to do. So
this is a free service. You get 1 year of it for your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. It's free and, you know, they have to implement a curriculum. But just to talk first about, you know, the benefits of early childhood education. I mean, I was myself unaware of this until recently. But there's a huge body of evidence there that shows that, you know, the children who attend high quality early care and education benefit considerably. And it's not just, you know, cognitive, emotional, social, language and behavioural development, but, you know, their life chances are benefit as well, you know.
And we're only, what, 4 years into this scheme, the free year?
That's right, 2013 it was established. And,
or
you
was
know,
it 2010? Sorry.
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. 2010 it was set up. But, I mean, we can see, you know, there, you know, the OECD programme, you know, this is quoted many's occasion, you know, they it's called the PISA. By age 15, they see how early childhood education really shows up and the benefits there. You know, across OECD countries, students who attended preschool for 1 year or more scored more than 30 points higher in reading than those who did not. And put another way, it's as if the students who went to preschool had benefited from an extra year schooling by age 15 compared to their classmates. And, you know, there's research in the US as well by a guy called Larry Schweinhart, a renowned researcher, I'm told, in this area. He did a study on adults aged 40 who received quality care and education in their early years, and they showed significantly higher educational attainment, a much higher earnings level, and were much likely to have, you know, to have not been arrested for crime. So it's obviously, you know, very beneficial.
What's not to like? But also, you've been speaking to some parents whose children have had the benefit of this, not just yourself.
Yeah, I spoke to a number of parents, you know, who have availed of the ECC programme. And as we said, it's open to all children aged 3 years to 2 months, aged 3 years, 2 months and 4 years, 7 months on the 1st of September each year. Now, there was a nearly, surprise, surprise, 100% uptake of this scheme to date. There's 70,000 kids enrolled all over the country, so it's massive. And it's no wonder really when you see the price of childcare in Ireland. I mean, it's on average 800 euro a month for one child, on average 167 euro a week. And as you'll hear from the mothers in this clip, Sean, you know, many were waiting for this opportunity to either get back into the workforce, to retrain, to reskill. So, you know, it does tally with the international studies that show that, you know, there is an increased female participation in the workforce as a result of greater access to universal early childhood education.
Well, I have twins who are just in their first year of the ECC scheme, and what it means to me is that I am looking forward to returning to the workplace. I haven't worked since they were born, 4 years ago almost, and it enables me to retrain, upskill, study in advance. It gives me a year of doing those things 5 mornings a week, enable to, so that I can look at getting a job next year, which I wouldn't have been able to do until they return to schools. Even just if you've the one child, the cost of even 3 hours of childcare a day is enormous. It's enormous. It's invaluable to any, and particularly mothers who might want to return to the workforce.
Oh, it's very expensive to send your children anywhere. So, you know, we take the scheme because it's available. And it's brilliant, to be honest with you. Otherwise, probably wouldn't be sending them, to be honest. It's so expensive. So yeah, it's great that every place school offers it, and we really appreciate it.
I have twins in a creche where they're doing a fantastic job learning really loads of Irish, loads of behavioural aspects for the classroom, and really developing at a huge rate of knots that I find they'll be well able for going to school next year.
Satisfied mums there, Roisin. Now, you mentioned earlier that if you're to pay for this thing or this service, you'd be talking about creche fees of 800 a month or 167 euros per week. And this, I think, is perhaps part of the story in explaining why it's such a contentious service from the point of view of the service providers.
Yeah, I mean, here's where, as a parent, I get a little bit concerned about the situation. Early Childhood Ireland, I spoke to them, and they're an organisation which represents 3,500 service providers, creches and preschools. So they have about 100,000 children attending their services all over the country. And they're saying that the way the scheme is being run at the moment is unsustainable for their members. They carried out a survey recently and they found that the majority of their respondents said that their financial stability had decreased since the ECCE was brought in. I mean, they're saying that the prices charged in many areas, you know, are capped as well by the prevalence of unregulated childcare. So they mentioned that as a concern to them. But they're saying that they're caught in this scheme, that they have to abide by rules and regulations, obviously, because it's a state scheme.
So what are they being paid by the state for every child coming in?
So for every child coming in, they get a capitation rate of €62.50 a week per child. Now, they only receive this for 38 weeks of the year, and whereas they have to pay for 44 weeks of the year because that's the school term. So they're saying that it just doesn't cover their costs. And on top of that, there are problems recently with the new payment system that's been brought in by the Department of Children. And due to these difficulties with registrations and the new computer system, I understand that many of them haven't even been paid yet for the service they're providing.
What's the ratio between staff and children then in these places?
I can't answer that for sure, but
but you wonder how far you'd stretch with €62.50 a week per child. I mean, how can they keep the roof over their heads?
Well, apparently there are increased regulations that they have to abide by, so which takes a lot of their hours time. And you'll hear from I spoke to two owners of these creches and these preschool services.
Are they private preschool services?
They are private preschool services, as most of them are, Sean. And I spoke to one lady who explains it better than most. The pressure she finds herself under as a result of the cost-cutting measures. Carol D, she works in a sessional preschool in Newbridge, County Kildare, which she also owns, but a lot of her children would be on ECCE state-funded schemes. And she also told me that she has found that the numbers in private, outside of the ECCE scheme has dwindled lately as well. She's noticed that. So she says that she finds it a struggle to keep her business going. She said she doesn't take a wage herself, and quite often she has to seek help.
Personally, I had a year where my parents had to bail me out on a monthly basis to meet the staff members' wages. That they're just the money just wasn't coming in. So I spent the following year then repaying that debt. So you're constantly, if you're funding yourself from whatever means you can, which is usually personal or family bailing you out, those debts have to be repaid, so you're always playing catch-up. I don't pay myself a regular wage, the majority of my colleagues are in the same position. Basically, I'm working for nothing, and that's what it feels like. You're constantly worrying about money. Things you might want to do for your service and improvements you might want to make to replace equipment or invest in new equipment just hasn't happened in the last 3 years.
Carol D, well, you couldn't sustain many a business if you weren't able to take a wage for yourself and you had to rely on your parents.
See, this is the problem, and it has to do with the complications and the complexities in how they're being actually paid as well. I understand that they get paid for in advance for their numbers of last year, they get paid this year. So it gets a bit confusing for and they find it very difficult to actually run the business because they can't predict how much they will be paid next year, because they can't predict the numbers that they'll have next year on it.
Aside from Carol D, you spoke to another service provider who has largely a similar situation or a similar story to tell.
Yes, Rachel Oglesby, she told me that she owns and runs three preschool services in North County Dublin. Now, she told me that the capitation grant, as I said, which is €62.50 a week per child, is unsustainable for her as well. She said, she gets paid 38 weeks, but they do 44 weeks in the school term. So she says, she was explaining that she has to pay rent out of that, she has to pay staff wages, and there's no money for the admin work, she says, which there is a lot of now. And she also says that they're only paid for contact time with the children, and they don't take into consideration the extra hours that need to be put in, including training for staff.
Well, I found myself before in the summer holidays having absolutely no money and having to borrow to get through the summer, being in a position where you're wondering, are you going to have enough money to pay wages at the end of the month? You know, trying to budget, I mean, to provide for a quality service, you need non-contact time away from the children. And we simply don't have the budget to pay staff. You know, a lot of the time staff are doing things in their own time, bringing work home and not getting paid for it. And then on top of that, to add insult to it even further, we find ourselves then in the summer months with no job. And as a self-employed person, we don't have the luxury of signing on the dole. But for our employees, it's hard for them. They have to sign on the dole. And then we don't know whether they're going to come back to us in September. I see more and more graduates leaving the sector because there's no future. There's no future for them. So what they do is they leave early ed and they go into primary school teaching where they are guaranteed a wage during the summer holidays. And they're better working conditions, working hours, and at least they're guaranteed they're going to get paid. As a society, I don't think we value early ed, and we should, because all the research is pointing at it being the most important, significant time in children's lives. Yet we're not prepared to put our money where our mouths are. You know, at the end of the day, there is a cost for quality, and it should be paid.
So Rachel Oglesby there spelling it out as she sees it. We've lots of text on this as well. Text in from Sinead. Just to be clear, it's 15 hours per week free preschool. So 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, not a full-time free year. For us working parents, it means our creche fees for a three-year-old are reduced from 917 to €725 a month. Yes, very helpful, but not free, says one listener. And another one, while I agree that children benefit amazingly from the ECCE year, it is such a pity that for the huge effort put in by the qualified carers of these children, the remuneration to these ladies is nothing short of exploitation. That seems to echo what you've been picking up.
It is what I've been picking up, but of course the government say they are committed to improving the quality of early childhood education, and their aim, they say, is to expand the scheme to 2 years, but not until they have improved the system as it is at the moment, and to improve the quality of what's on offer. And they've sent me a list of where they hope to improve it. You know, they hope to implement the national preschool standards. They're introducing a registration system for all preschool services, publishing inspection reports online, ensuring appropriate action is taken in response to non-compliance, and strengthening actions, so on and so forth. But a recent report published by TUSLA, the Child and Family Agency, on an analysis of preschool inspection reports showed that of the 27 or so regulations, 11 or more were breached by 6.5% of services. So that's like 4,700 services. So that's 300 preschool services are in breach of more than half of the regulations. And we are unaware of what has been done about that. But Start Strong, it's important to say, they're a coalition of organisations and individuals seeking to advance children's early care and education in Ireland, have raised concerns about this, and in particular about the level of inspections being carried out. You know, they're saying that a labour court states that only public health nurses can carry out these inspections. And they're asking, well, how can they really assess a child's development in relation to educational and curriculum?
That's a point that's separate, though, from the funding one.
It is indeed.
Not that it's any less valid on that.
Yeah,
on that
but
account.
I'm saying that's another concern in terms of quality. I mean, everybody is saying they want to improve the quality, including Early Childhood Ireland. They're saying their main focus really is on the children's quality of care and education, and that's where they want to see an improvement. And they are saying that they can't ensure the quality of their service unless they say they receive more investment. And Start Strong are also calling for more investment in this to improve quality of care and education for children.
Roisin, thank you very much indeed for that report. That's Roisin O'Hara there. More after these.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.